here's a story from The World.
Lockbit. It's one of the world's most notorious ransomware gangs. Its members break into computer networks, lock them up, then demand money to release them. One of their most recent attacks was against the Royal Mail, the UK's largest mail delivery service. Dina Temple Raston of the Click Here podcast took a deep dive with a researcher who spent more than a year undercover with Lockbit and found out how the group revolutionized ransomware.
Back in June 2020, an unusual announcement appeared in dark web forums next to all those ads for stolen credit card numbers and personally identifiable information. What it was a call for papers, the kind of call for research papers academic conferences always have.
I'm reading from their ad right now. Non-standard methods of extracting material, admin, shells, roots, bases.
This is John DiMaggio. He's a researcher at Analyst One, a threat intelligence company based in Virginia. And he remembers seeing the ad when it came out and thinking how odd it was for someone to ask a bunch of people on the dark web to write research papers.
In which you as a submitter are looking to find a new creative way to hack something or to program or code something that conducts a hacking function.
It was a weirdly highbrow way to get the attention of what was essentially an audience of cyber criminals.
They're calling it like in the name of education and the criminal community, helping out the young guys and gals coming up.
The summer paper contest, as they called it, generated a huge amount of interest. There were literally dozens and dozens of entries with titles like How We Wrote the First Ransomware for Android. The contest was sponsored, as it turns out, by a group that was pretty good at dreaming up novel ideas in cyberspace. In fact, this kind of word of mouth helped put this new Russian ransomware gang on the map. They call themselves Lockbit. And for more than a year, John DiMaggio went undercover inside their operation, watching as Lockbit grew from a ragtag gang of cybercriminals into the most prolific ransomware syndicate the world has ever seen.
Well, hackers have carried out a cyber attack against the city of LA's housing authority.
The Canadian town of St. Mary's, Ontario, has been hit by a ransomware attack.
Ransomware from a gang called Lockbit has infected Royal Mail computers used to print customs labels.
To place Lockbit in the pantheon of ransomware groups, you just need to look at the numbers. Last year, they were responsible for about 44% of the total ransomware campaigns launched. 44%. None of its competitors come anywhere close to that. But a few years ago, back when John DiMaggio first started following Lockbit, it was just a group of Russian hackers trying to make a name for themselves. So DiMaggio applied for a role there and started chatting with the group's leader, a guy who goes by the name Lockbit Sub. The only problem was, Lockbit is a Russian ransomware gang, and DiMaggio doesn't speak Russian.
So I started off the conversation with German, and of course then he says, I don't speak German. But here's the thing. All of them speak a little bit of English because those are the primary victims.
So I guess you speak German. Is that the idea?
Oh, I don't. I just knew that Lockbit didn't. So that is... Yeah. So I start speaking broken English. I'm like, do you speak English type of thing? And they'll be like, yes. And I'll say, okay, well, why don't we try to communicate like this? And then I just have to remember to make sure my English isn't too good as I communicate, but it works.
And what DiMaggio found was a criminal who fundamentally understood, in a way few people did, that in order for the ransomware industry to get next level, it needed to be run more like a traditional business. So Lockbit Sub, the person behind Lockbit, decided to do just that. And his first step was to make Lockbit a brand.
They constantly did things to get their name out there, and then they capitalized on opportunity.
He started with a logo. Red, white, and black, a little retro-looking. Lockbit put it on their website, on email signatures, on the letterhead of their ransom messages. And then they tried a different kind of in-real-life branding.
Then they, at one point, paid people to tattoo it on their bodies, and it was for between $500 and $1,000. And I just, when I heard that, I'm like, there is no way anyone is going to tattoo the name of a ransomware brand in their logo on their bodies. And there's quite a few people who did it.
Wow.
That's just crazy to me.
Then Lockbit Sub began to focus on the inefficiencies and bottlenecks in the ransomware business model. Why wasn't the average hacker launching successful attacks? And how could he address that need? His solution was something he called Lockbit 2.0,
Think of it as ransomware made easy, a full dashboard for the criminals to conduct attacks with easy-to-use tools. There were even push notifications that would tell attackers when a victim responded to a ransom demand. It was pretty much point and click.
He took what used to require, you know, weeks of being on a network and manually entering commands and writing scripts and stuff, and he automated it with a graphical interface for everybody.
Then Lockbit's leader went further. He tackled one of the biggest problems in the cyber criminal world, paying people. It's not just about getting a victim to pay a ransom. That was relatively easy. The issue was paying all the backroom people who contributed to the attack. Traditionally, ransomware groups use subcontractors. They call them affiliates. And a lot of the time, like subcontractors more generally, they just didn't get paid.
And that was a fear, and it was a concern that was talked about a lot and still is talked about a lot on these criminal forums.
Lockbit's solution? To flip the script. Put the affiliates in charge and give them ransomware for free.
You as the affiliate, you do the negotiation and collect that money yourself, and then you pay us our percentage. And that inherently gives them trust and removes that fear of getting ripped off.
Once he did that, affiliates were banging down the doors to work with them. Affiliates launch the attack, negotiate, and Lockbit takes its cut. DiMaggio was watching all this happen in real time.
They like to go through the data to find sort of the most embarrassing aspects of it and share stuff. And it's very much like an online bully. It's very much, you know, picking on the victim and trying to expose their most vulnerable aspects as though it's some big joke.
But it doesn't feel like some big joke on the other end.
You feel like the world's going to end as you get into it more and more. And you think, you know, what has happened? It's like being robbed.
This guy was on the other end of that Lockbit attack.
My name is Al Strathdean. I'm the mayor of the town of St. Mary's, which is a town of around 7,700 in southwestern Ontario.
St. Mary's IT department discovered hackers in the city's network in July 2022.
So they immediately isolated the system and unplugged the servers.
So when people said, hey, this is Lockbit, were you stunned? Because it's kind of a big deal ransomware organization.
I was stunned, actually. And one of the interesting things about Lockbit is that there has been instances where you can actually rent this software from Lockbit and they take a cut, which means that it could have been anyone.
In other words, it may not have been Lockbit itself that hacked them, but one of those affiliates Lockbit had learned how to attract. So who does this kind of thing? That's what analyst John DiMaggio really wanted to understand, the humans behind all these attacks. And after spending more than a year lurking in their chat rooms, what he thinks he's pieced together is this. Lockbit Sup is a white male living in Russia or Eastern Europe. He's in his mid to late 30s, and he grew up poor.
He says that he was picked on. So because of that, that sort of builds in these insecurities. And then when you get a lot of success, that breeds a very strong ego that is insecure.
Lockbit's leader sees himself as a kind of prince of darkness, bent on sowing destruction. But for all his bravado, he's insecure, and he's really worried about getting caught.
His paranoia prevents him from ever being able to enjoy all this money that he has and all the things that he actually wants to do. He can't travel to places, and he doesn't seem happy.
Remembering that, he says, provides a roadmap on how to topple groups like Lockbit. Play on the leader's paranoia. Use information campaigns against him. Make him nervous. And it's clear Lockbit is paying attention to DiMaggio's research. Last week, the group posted a new photo on the criminal forums. There, in the top left-hand corner of Lockbit's profile, is a smiling face. And it's none other than John DiMaggio. For The World, I'm Dina Temple-Raston.
Dina Temple-Raston is the host of Click Here, a podcast about the world of cyber and intelligence. This story was produced by Sean Powers and Will Jarvis.